This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Late last month, the Nanaimo Men's Resource Center advised the community that its operations were hanging by a financial thread due to funding concerns. The organization's counselors and executive director were willing to defer their salaries to keep the doors open. The provincial government has now provided limited funding to allow the center to continue operating for a short time. The Nanaimo Men's Resource Center has operated in its current location since 2002, and it became a registered charity in 2004. From funding crises to startup challenges, organizers continue to agree on the importance of offering men's counseling and support services from men's organizations. Today we're going to ask the questions, what do men's centers do, why are they important, and what are some of the issues facing men these days? Theo Boer, Executive Director of Nanaimo's Men's Resource Center, is going to join us in the studio. So Theo, maybe we'll just start with having you tell us what men's centers do, particularly the Nanaimo Men's Resource Center.
Well, I think the whole concept of having a men's center is, in its basic format, really not that different from having a women's center. It's a very basic human need that we all need help at some point in our lives, not all the time maybe. And I think it's fairly well documented in research that, generally speaking, men have a harder time reaching out and asking for help. Specifically, there's a lot of issues that men have that aren't really addressed in our society, and there isn't really support services. The Nanaimo Men's Resource Center is essentially started and based on a very simple concept, and that involves the breakdown of the family and the fact that in our society we are dealing with an epidemic of fatherless children. And so our underlying agenda for all our programs, even though it may not be obvious on the surface, is to try and support fathers to stay connected with their children. And there's a variety of reasons why that's not happening in our society. It has a lot to do with how we've changed how we treat divorce and what happens to fathers in that process. A lot of fathers get cut out of the picture either through the family justice system or sometimes a vindictive ex. Sometimes fathers just can't cope and they want to go away. They just want to hide under a rock. So that's an underlying concept. Our programs specifically are related to a lot of different things. We have a Dads Make a Difference program, which specifically targets that agenda. But we have other programs like anger management programs, community awareness programs, parental alienation awareness programs. We provide support for non-custodial parents around the Family Maintenance Enforcement Program, which relates to paying child support and spousal support. And we completely support parents paying their child support. But sometimes the way FMEP deals with parents can be a little heavy-handed. So we help advocate for those parents. And we do that for mothers and fathers. A lot of our programs, in fact, most of our programs are open for women. And about 30% of our clientele is, in fact, women. And I was surprised to find that out myself a couple of months ago. I didn't know that.
Now, Theo, there have been a number of challenges that I've read about recently in the Nanaimo Daily News related to the organization and its funding. And one of the things that I came across was a letter to the editor of the Nanaimo Daily News on December the 28th, 2009, from Sharon Bronstein of Nanaimo, who wrote, quote, "If we want to create a safe, considerate, and caring community today, it is important to attend to those in dire need, emotional turmoil, or lacking the human resources to cope. If these men receive the support and education they need, then everybody will benefit, their families and friends, co-workers, even their ex-spouses." Now, Sharon Bronstein was writing in support of funding for men's organizations like the Nanaimo Men's Resource Center. I'm wondering if you could speak in a sense, more broadly now, about why men's centers are so important. You're going in that direction, describing mm-hmm. some of the programming and everything, but why are they that important?
Well, it's interesting in the way our society has evolved, and there's a number of reasons for that. But what we've done in the last, say, 30 years, we've created a lot of resources for women, and that's a good thing. What we've really neglected to do at the same time is provide resources for men. And I think there's some very simple reasons for that. One is that men generally aren't as good as asking for help and identify more with the image of the lone wolf or the warrior. And so they, you know, they feel they can do it themselves. So one of the pieces that we're trying to address is simply the social education of saying it's okay to ask for help. It's not unmanly. It's not a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a sign of strength. So, the way our society has evolved, we've left this big gap. I think what's happening now in our society is we're starting to realize that the implications of that are huge. The breakdown of the family, all these fatherless children, those are all pieces that are coming to bear now. If you look at the statistics around fatherless children, it's totally frightening. The crime statistics, teenage pregnancy, dropping out of school, the figures are shocking, and it's one of the most scariest statistics to me is that 63% of teenage suicides come from fatherless families. That's astounding. So when we look at all of those implications in our society, and we look at, well, how do we deal with that? What kind of preventative medicine can we put in place? Supporting fathers is a very simple piece that we can do. It's not going to eliminate all those things, but it's certainly going to address them.
You can kind of see, I just would like to make one comment around that too. You can see with another statistic about British Columbia is that we have the highest child poverty rate in mm-hmm. Canada, which means that we have the highest poverty rate in Canada. We have had huge economic shifts in our working force, men in forestry, fishing. Mm-hmm. So all of those issues create huge stressors on the family itself, leading to more breakups, less meaningful communication between men and women. And you can sort of start to see how it all falls out the way it does.
Yeah, very true. All of those are pieces. And I think on the outside, people look at the concept of a men's center in a fairly, and I don't say this in a disparaging way, but in a kind of a shallow way, see the surface of men need help. But the implications to our whole society, if we support men, we support women. If we support men to be better men, they can be more integral with themselves. They can be more supportive to their partners, to their families, if they're under less stress. And that happens on a multitude of levels. And that's one of the things that we do at the center. It's not just about supporting men in crisis, but it's about supporting men to be the best that they can be.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Jen, and we're joined in the studio by Theo Boer, Executive Director of Nanaimo Men's Resource Center. We're talking about men's centers and asking the questions, what do men's centers do? Why are they important? And what are some of the issues facing men these days?
According to the Canadian Mental Health Association, studies, surveys, web networks, journals, and newspaper articles from around the world are shedding light on what is still a shadowy subject, men's mental health. Among the findings is the revelation, for example, that new fathers are also vulnerable to postpartum depression. In Canada, young and middle-aged men are being hospitalized for schizophrenia in increasing numbers, and that the gender gap among people with mental illness is much narrower than might be suspected.
The Stats Canadian Community Health Survey on Mental Health and Well-Being found that 10% of men experience symptoms of surveyed mental health disorders and substance dependencies compared with 11% of women. In the UK, studies of depression show a major shift in the traditional gender imbalance, with depression rising among men and decreasing among women. But the greatest evidence of male vulnerability is in suicide statistics. Among Canadians of all ages, 4 of every 5 suicides are male.
Again, let's get back a bit, Theo, to more around the issues that are currently being faced by men today.
Well, to elaborate on the suicide statistics, which I think are very interesting and show a sort of a window into the psyche of how men deal with crisis and stress. Kevin mentioned the statistics in generally speaking. One of the other pieces that a lot of people aren't aware of is men commit suicide 8 times more frequently than women during the process of divorce and separation, and 12 times more frequently for men over 65 who are divorcing or separating. And that, I mean, that's a huge disparity. And why is that? I think it says a lot about how men deal with pain and grief and loss versus how women deal with that. Women, and these are generalizations, of course, there's lots of exceptions, but from a general perspective, women tend to be more social in sharing their grief and dealing with their feelings. Men bottle it up. I view suicide as violence in the same way as external violence, except it's directed inward. It's an inability to cope with the feelings that are going on. So all of those pieces come together in our society, which has increasing divorce rates, increasing broken families. And so that's another way that fathers get cut out of the picture, whether they do it themselves or not. It still leaves children without a father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, disintegrating families, and everybody suffers because of mm-hmm. it. In how many people would you say you see within a year? Or do you have statistics around how many?
We're getting better at gathering statistics. The interesting thing about having a men's center in Nanaimo is that there are a few other centers around the province that have started up in the last year or two, like the one down in Cowichan. There's another one in Port Coquitlam in the Lower Mainland that started but just has recently closed its doors due to lack of funding. There's another small one in Vancouver. But there isn't very much around, either in BC or across Canada or North America. So as a consequence, we get phone calls and emails all across Canada, all across the United States, and from the UK, from Australia. We've had phone calls from men asking for help from all over the world. And so this is really an indication of the lack of resources for men everywhere, certainly in westernized society. And so we help a lot of men. In terms of actual numbers, we're probably helping 50 to 100 men a week, depending on the week. Some days it's a lot busier than other days. So
that's a fair few people.
That's a lot of people.
In a community
yes.
of 80,000 people, which is approximately what we're at right now. One of the things that I really admired about what you were doing was your inclusivity. You know, with women, I've seen ads in the newspaper for your workshops and their anger management, and it's open to men and women because these are human issues. You know, we all have different, as you said, different ways of dealing with them, but they're in common as well. And the idea of working through some of them together makes a lot of sense rather than isolated groups of people. You know, it's quite admirable.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We've from the very beginning, had that focus that it's important not to work on the male psyche or who we are as men in some kind of exclusive bubble from society or from women. We need to be able to do that in relationship with women and help to empower both men and women to be the best that they can be. It's about excellence. So, yes, we help people in crisis, but we also help a lot of people who aren't necessarily in crisis. And our society is very crisis-oriented in terms of one, I think, very stark example recently is around our funding. We've had a funding crisis every year for the last 3 years, and the only way we seem to resolve that is by saying, oops, we're going to close our doors, and then the government has stepped forward and done something about it. So as positive from the perspective of the message is, yes, we think these services are important, but it's very difficult to run an agency on start and stop funding. Those are challenges. Those are big challenges for us.
Oh, I'm wondering, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Well, I want to appreciate the two of you for having me on and for bringing this topic more forward. It's one of the challenges is to try and create more education about these issues.
Thanks very much for coming in,
right.
Theo.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks,
Thank
Jen.
You. Theo Boer is Executive Director of Nanaimo Men's Resource Center. You can find more information online at www.nanaimomen.com. We'd also like to acknowledge information obtained and shared from the Canadian Mental Health Association's website.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM. CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.